are so glad that you guys are here. And if you sit on those new chairs, they're pretty awesome. You know, years ago when I first started preaching, we were moving metal chairs from building to building. And I remember Cindy Hogg come to me one day and she said, "Pastor, that was a great message." But she said, "I got to be real honest with you." She said, "A message is only as good as the butt can endure, you know?" And we were sitting on metal chairs. So y'all have nice chairs here, but the newer chairs, the pad is thicker. The chair is a little bit wider. It's more comfortable. You know, it is going to be so awesome. And one of the things that you're going to see is when you buy a chair, we're going to color in on those little chairs over there so that you can see how we're doing it. And I promise you that we're going to get those chairs filled up and God receives the glory, because this church is going to step to the plate and this church is going to get it done. If you don't have any friends, go make a friend, okay? We were teasing Deb today. She says, "I don't have a job or a friend." I said, "Then sit on the floor and be alone, okay?" I mean, that's where it's at. So, well, we love you guys, and we are so glad that you're here today, and God has been so gracious to us. And if you will look over there, you will see what God is doing for this church. Also, next Wednesday, we're going to have a business meeting, and Kent Tremaine and Shem. Ken is right back over there. He's the one that has all the wavy hair, and you know, but Kent's going to be installed as one of the deacons of our church. So it's going to be a great night. He's a great godly man. Shem is a great godly woman. They're a great asset to the church. So come and be a part as we install them, because there's a lot of work that God's got in store for both of them. So amen. Well, with that said, I titled the message today, "What I Read Was Not What I Saw." We joke about it, but in this church, there are all different kinds of denominations. We have all come from different paths to get to where we are today. I honestly, as a child, grew up Lutheran. I was Missouri Synod Lutheran. It was very, very conservative. You walked into church, you sat down, you said a prayer. There wasn't a lot of laughing. There was no joking. Wasn't a lot of fellowship. It was a very reverent place. Well, my grandmother was Catholic, and my grandmother took me to a Catholic church, and in my day, it was done in Latin. Okay, well, someone would go, "Well, how was church?" It was like, "Well, it was great. What did you learn?" "I don't know, because I couldn't understand what he said." So we went from there, and when I was in college, I got engaged. I joined the Presbyterian Church. Pam and I got married in the Methodist Church. We went to the Episcopal Church trying to find something that would fit. And we went back to the Methodist Church, and we sat there, and it wasn't, I'm not trying to say it to be funny, but Pam leaned over to me that night, and she said, "If this is all there is to church, I don't want any more." She said, "This is crazy." She said, "It's boring." Well, Mike and Cindy invited us to their church, which was an Assembly of God church, only time that we'd been there. And then one day, something led me to go into First Baptist Church. That was on 518, and that was the day that my life began to change. And now, because we have seen the fullness of God's gospel, we have seen God do some wonderful, miraculous things in church, we now, you know, practice as a non-denominational, candidly full gospel with attachment to Baptist life. So that was my path. Now, the Bible tells all of us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says that you're saved. September 12, 1990 is the day that I personally prayed to receive Christ. Now, my life changed. I mean, I was drinking back then. I've never had a drink of scotch since the day that I prayed to receive Christ. God has blessed me in so many different ways. Well, you know, you kind of begin to grow in Scripture. I've shared this. Cindy had said one day, you know, if you just are willing to just embrace the Spirit and touch the hem of God's garment, your life will never be the same. Well, I'm going, well, you know, that's awesome and that's good. And then I began to read Scripture. But church, here's the problem. What I read in Scripture was not what I saw in church. Amen. You know, we talk in church all the time about, well, we got this powerful God. But my deal today is, where's the power in the church? We talk about, oh, you got this awesome relationship. Well, where's the relationship? Right. And again, what I read in Scripture is not what you see in church life today. Well, let me show you something. In the book of Genesis, it says they heard the sound of the Lord God. They heard the sound. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day, the man and his wife hid themselves. You know, they had fallen into sin, but it says that they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And then it says, and the Lord God called to man and said to them, where are you? Well, we know from that passage and that passage alone that God speaks to those that he has created. How many people in this room could honestly go, you know, I have such an awesome relationship with God that I get up every day, he talks to me and I talk to him? Maybe some can, maybe some cannot, okay? Now, Isaiah 6:8 says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, well, here we go again. Isaiah is a man who is not any different than anybody in this room. He is a prophet. But he says, I heard the voice of the Lord. How many people in this room can honestly say, I have heard the voice of the Lord? Amen. And then it says, whom shall I send? And then he says, Lord, send me. Okay? Then in Exodus 19:9, the Lord said to Moses. So once again, you know, Moses is doing what Moses does, but it says that the Lord spoke to Moses. Well, he's talking to Moses, and he says, I will come to you in a thick cloud so that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever. And then Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Again, the Bible tells us that God is speaking to a man. He's just like you and I. But he was speaking to him. Another passage in Deuteronomy. Then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of his words. But it says you saw no form, only a voice. And there's a lot of people in this room have heard things, and I don't know if maybe you just bypassed it as something to go, okay, or what, but God spoke to the people in the Old Testament. Acts 9, and you know this one, we talked about it the other day. As he was traveling, and this is Saul, who was turned into Paul, but it happened that he was approaching Damascus. Suddenly, the scripture says, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then he said, who are you, Lord? And then the voice said, I'm Jesus, the one that you persecuted. Okay? How do you know, church, when God is actually speaking to you? Well, we've all heard, well, you just know that you know. Or someone might go, well, you know, it's not really an actual voice. And then some people will go, well, it's a feeling. And I want to go, stop it! That's enough. For me, well, you just know that you know. That ain't good enough. Or it's a feeling. Well, that could be gas, okay? Or, well, I'm not really hearing a voice. Well, what do you mean? You're not. What am I hearing? And my deal is none of that is going to make it solidify the truth that God still speaks to people today. See, we say things like that because we don't know what to say. Well, how do I know? Well, you just know that you know. And my deal is, what in the world does that mean? Well, you just know that you know that you know. What does it mean? Well, here's my million-dollar question. If I can't hear him, and if I can't see him, and if I can't feel him, is he actually real? Or is it some imaginary, you know, story, Leon, that you and I read in the book? You know, a lot of people look at the Bible as a history book. They look at what used to happen years ago. But it's not that things happen today. And it bothers me today when people go, well, I can't hear him. Or I can't see him. Can't even feel it. And then we want to know how come there's a mass exodus in church. Either God's real or it's not. Either that book is true or it's not. And either it's all true or it's all a lie. And you and I have to make the determination. And the problem is that it starts from the pulpit, but the second problem is it starts with you guys. You know, when I have an opportunity and the privilege to preach, don't take me for granted. Amen. Go home and search the Word. Look at the Scriptures and go, oh, okay, I read it. But, you know, when you read a Scripture, to really do it right, you read the chapter before, you read the chapter after, and you read the chapter that we just talked about that has the verse in it so that you understand the totality of what that textual context is all about. Because if not, you pick and choose, and that's not what God wants us to do. Right. Now, Romans 12:11 says, for there is no partiality with God. God doesn't go, okay, you know, I love Leon, but I hate Leo. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I was going to let it break deep. Ma'am? It's always this side of the room. We have been trying to preach this for months. It's this side of the room. This is the problem. Okay. Look at that over there. They're smiling. Acts 10:34 says, opening his mouth, Peter said, I must certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. Well, then, what I read should be what I see. What I read should be what I hear. What I see or read should be what I feel. If God is not a respecter of people, then by golly gee willigers, if it happened to be, it ought to be able to happen to you. Amen. If it happened to Mike, it ought to happen to me. If it happened to Aubrey, then it ought to happen to us. God is not a respecter of people. God is the same God today as he was yesterday and as he will be tomorrow. God does not change. Well, if God doesn't change, what's the problem? Let me break it to you gently. When you go home after a while, look in the mirror, and the person that is looking back at you, that's the problem. Just where we are. Now, Habakkuk 2:1 says, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered and said, record the visions, inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. And then the third verse says, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goals. It will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come, and it will not delay. There are four keys, church, that we're going to talk about, not all today, but in the weeks to come. Four simple keys so that you can hear the voice of God. Here's number one. He says, I will stand on my guard. That means that you're going to have to be still. That means that you're going to have to go find some place in your house, whether it goes in the bathroom and close the door, whether you go in your closet and you close the door. But it means that you need to find some place where it's you and God, where you can be still. Number two, it says, I will keep watch to see. Meaning that you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Pretty easy today to get our eyes off of Jesus, but it's very important that we keep our eyes on Jesus. Now, it says he will speak to me. One of the keys here is spontaneity. Things might not seem the way they're supposed to be. You might go, well, really, was that God that spoke to me? And I'm telling you that God is very spontaneous. You're not going to put God in a box. He's not going to do it your way, because he says his thoughts and his ways are not ours. The other, and, you know, I only know one other person that does it, and it's Mike Hall. But it says, and the Lord answered me and said, record the vision. Meaning, record the vision, your thoughts, your pictures, anything that comes to your mind, to your heart. I've got journal after journal after journal that I have written down, where at one point in time, Aubrey will be able to look back, and Raylan and Caden will be able to look back, and my kids will look back and see how many times I prayed for them and what I prayed about. I've got journals where I've really struggled, and through the years you've seen God answer the prayers. And what's most important is when you hear from God, write it down. Amen. Well, I write in my Bible. That's not good enough. Get journals. Amen. And I bet you I've got 50 of them that I've wrote in there about just my personal life. And I know Mike does the same thing. Here's the first, is that Habakkuk goes to a place of solitude. He goes to a place where he can be alone and a place where he can just be still. And there he stations himself, waiting for God to speak. Now here's the key, church, waiting. Psalms 91 says, those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High can dwell or can abide in the shadow of the Almighty. But it begins with he who dwells. And the word dwell means he who is willing to set up habitation. That doesn't mean that you're just going to come in and you're going to leave. It means I'm going to bring everything I got. I'm going to set up my lifestyle. I'm going to set up my home. And I'm going to dwell right here till God speaks to me. And that's something that most of the people in church do not do. But you and I have got to get to the place, if we really want to hear from God, and we have a God that speaks to us, that you're going to have to go to that place of solitude, you're going to have to stay there, and you're going to have to get to the place to go, I am not moving till God speaks to me. Now, second, Habakkuk quiets himself within by watching to see. what God's going to say. The Hebrew word, or actually words, phrase, translated watching to see, means to keep watch to see. It means to look out or about. It means to spy, observe, to see, to inspect, to give attention to. See, Habakkuk said, I'm going to find that place of solitude. I'm not moving. But when I'm in that place, I'm going to be still and I'm going to watch and observe and look out so that I could see what God is going to say to me. Third, Habakkuk hears the voice from within. And this is defined as that still, small voice. If I'm going to have a relationship, you know, one of the things that I've seen with people today is that if I'm talking to Leo and Leo is talking to me, that all too often one of those people in that relationship wants to talk over the other person. I begin to talk, but then all of a sudden I don't get the chance to finish. And the other person wants to talk over. You don't have a relationship that way. God gave you two ears to hear, one mouth to talk, and that means that you need to listen twice as much as you talk. And sometimes when we have that relationship with the Lord, and a relationship is two-way. You know, if I wanted to call Mike, I'll call him on the phone, but if he doesn't answer, I don't have a relationship on the phone with him till he picks up the phone. You can call God 24/7. He's there. And you can talk to him. But church, it's not about us always talking to him. Sometimes it's about us being quiet so that we can listen to what God has to say for us. In 1 Kings, it says, after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. Sometimes when God speaks, you have to be so quiet. You can't have the radio blasting away. You can't have all the noise and all the disturbances outside. If you're really in that pickle, you need to find the quiet place. You need to look for Jesus, and you need to hear the still, small voice that he is speaking. And then the fourth, I got okay. There we go. The kids are going. And fourth, when God begins to speak, the first thing he says is record the vision. Habakkuk wrote down the thoughts, the pictures that were coming from God. And my question to us as a church is, why would God want us to write it down? Mikey, why do you do it? Why do we write it down? I mean, that's the most awesome thing of all. You know, is that you can see God working in your life. You know, I would encourage all the youth right here today to go get mom and dad to go get you a journal and begin to start writing as you go to school, your prayers, whatever it might be. And then 6 months from now, go back and read what God has done for you. And you're going to go, wow, how awesome what God has done. And every time that you get down, you need to go back to that journal to go, he did it there. And if he did it there, he's going to do it here. Amen. Visions are important because God gives them to us. And he gives them to us for one reason, to show his power in our lives, to show that he's real. And we've got a God that is a wonderful God, but he's a God of no nonsense. He's not playing. He knows that there's work to do. He knows that we're the tool to get it done. He tells us how to get it done. And sometimes he goes, you're going to forget it if you don't write it down. So write it down. Four elements that I want you guys to understand as we begin to do this study really next week is that first of all, you have to be still. You cannot let the world get you going. You can't let people get you going. You can't let, you know, all the stuff that Satan wants to put in your life, you need to put it down. You know, one of the greatest passages that God has given me recently, and I use it a whole lot because I was getting so stressed out, and the passage is this. It says, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that's one of the things that you need to do. Find that place of solitude. Use the visions. Become willing for that spontaneity to go, was that really the Lord who wanted me to do this? Yes. And then journal. And those are the elements that the prophet Habakkuk used to hear the voice of God. Ryan told me he went to a funeral yesterday. 2.5 hours, right? Okay? You know, most people go, oh my God. But see, I'm telling you that the boy knew about Christ. This was not a funeral. This was a celebration. And his mama, or grandma stood in the middle of this chapel and said, listen, here's the deal. My grandson knew the Lord. How about y'all? And that's the key. That's why we're here on Sunday. I'm not here to make you feel warm and fuzzy. I'm here to tell you about my God. I'm here to tell you that if you don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when you die, you're going to have a funeral. But I am here to tell you that if you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when you pass from this life to the other life, the Bible says you will be in the presence of Almighty God, and we're going to have a party because you're with the Lord. Some of y'all probably want to have a party now, but it don't work that way. But here's what I want to end, my last deal. If Habakkuk can, then so can we. Church, I want you to begin to understand this, that the book that you and I read every day, God speaks to you. If you ask God a question, he will answer. If you ask for wisdom, he will provide. If you're sad, he will give you hope. If you're afraid, he will give you strength. If you ask questions, he will answer them. But those are the four keys that you have to begin to work. And we're going to go very carefully, very methodically in the weeks to come, because I want everyone in this room that when you ask God a question, you will know that God has answered. Amen. 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 Give God a hand clap of praise.